shut up. All right, then, put up or shut up. Welcome to Put Up or Shut Up, the program in which you forfeit everything but fun. It's the show that asks you to put up your forfeit before you talk about what you know, then pays off if you know about what you talk. And here's the man who's supposed to know, the man who handles all the dough, the man who won't shut up until you put up, America's favorite of the airwaves, one of the brighter stars in radio, Jack Barry. Jack Barry! Jack Barry?
Thank you, John Scott, and good evening, everyone. That reception was wonderful, John. So unrehearsed, too. Each contestant on tonight's program will put up a forfeit, submitted earlier for our judge's approval, a forfeit which will be risked to prove the contestant's knowledge of any topic of his own choice.
The more original the forfeit, the greater the cash prize. Originality will be determined by the applause of our studio audience, which will register on our money meter from $1 to $100.
In the middle of the stage stands our totem pole. We'll place each forfeit in the green and yellow basket at the bottom of the pole, and then each time a correct answer is given, a tisket a tasket, up goes the green and yellow basket one notch like this.
But each time an incorrect answer is given, a tisket a tasket, down goes the green and yellow basket one notch like this.
The final object, of course, is to come out of this top man on the totem pole like this. And by the way, John, what happens to the forfeit if the contestant fails to answer the question?
Oh, you have plenty of opportunity to redeem it. Don't worry about that.
Well, I'm not worried, but I think maybe the contestant should be. And who is our first contestant, John?
Well, first to put up a forfeit and tote up the basket is Mrs. Nettie Britton of Trenton, New Jersey.
Well, hello, Mrs. Britton.
Hello.
We're awfully glad to have you here this evening. You just step right into the microphone real close. Good. You over here to New York doing some of your Christmas shopping, returning some of the gifts?
Oh, no. I'm keeping them all.
Uh-huh. You got nice gifts for Christmas,
lovely.
Huh? Mm-hmm. That hat, you get the hat for Christmas?
No, that isn't it.
It sort of reminds me of a tie that I got. I'm not going to give that back either. I like it. Mrs. Britton, I tell you, when our judges received your letter telling us about the forfeit you wanted to put up on our program, it took them back kind of a few years, you know?
Took me back, too, a few years.
Well, there's always room for a little sentiment in life, but before you and I break down and cry on each other's shoulders, suppose you tell our audience here tonight what your forfeit is.
Why, a love letter.
A love letter. Uh-huh. And suppose you tell us a little bit about it. Where did you get the love letter?
Well, I got it from... Well, he's my husband now, but he was my sweetheart then.
Oh, I see. Isn't that nice? Tell me, how long ago was that he sent the letter to you?
About 23 years ago.
Oh, you don't look it. 23 years ago? Oh, that's fine. Well, Mrs. Britton, that love letter certainly must have been well written because you accepted his offer of marriage right after you received it. Is that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And
thanks.
Then you changed your name to Mrs. Britton.
That's right.
Well, I wonder if you would do just one thing for us if we're not being too bold. Would
What's
you
that?
Read the letter for us?
No, I don't mind.
All right, you have it with you.
I have to put my glasses on, though.
All right. One of you boys take her bag and you put your glasses on, Mrs. Britton. Fine, you read the letter for us. I think all the folks here tonight are going to enjoy hearing this wonderful love letter sent by Mr. Britton to Mrs. Britton.
It says, Nettie, my angel, I want to tell you again how much your little boy loves you. The argument we had over buying furniture was so silly. Dearest dear, and I know I want you to have whatever your little heart desires. Oh, my darling, I do love you so. Words can never tell how much. You have brought tons of joy, happiness, and courage and ambition to a lonely heart. Please, let us marry soon and stop all this torture to both our hearts. Nettie, think it over some more, my precious, and try to see it my way. I am your patient servant, your anxious lover, Dory.
Oh, that's lovely. That is really lovely, Mrs. Griffith. And you know, after hearing that eloquent plea, I can understand why your name is now Mrs. Britton. Well, you've certainly brought a bit of sentiment to our program, and now it's up to our audience to decide just how much money you can win. Now, folks, how did you like Mrs. Britton's forfeit?
Jack, our audience takes very kindly to the love letter, and their applause registered $75 on our money meter. That's the amount Mrs. Britton can win.
Fine. $75 it is. Now, Mrs. Britton, you told us that you would be willing to forfeit your wonderful love letter if you permitted... If you were permitted, rather, to answer questions about food. Now, you know a lot about food, I suppose.
Yes.
Do a lot of cooking at home?
Yes.
Good. All right. We're going to put your love letter on into the green and yellow basket you handed to this gentleman here. All right, fine. And now, each time you get a correct answer, up will go the green and yellow basket. Each time you get a wrong answer, it'll go down. Now, we're going to ask you 5 questions, but there are only 3 notches on the pole. So you see that even if you miss a question or 2, you can still get the basket to the top of the pole. Now, here's your first question. Is Yorkshire pudding a dessert?
No.
That's absolutely right. Up goes the green and yellow basket. It's served with meat. It is not a dessert. That's fine. Well, there are 2 more notches to go in that green and yellow basket. Up to the top of the pole, here's your second question. Who wrote the Boston Cookbook?
I don't know that.
I bet you knew it when he sent you that love letter when you were newlywed.
I don't know now.
You don't know it. I'm sorry. Down goes the green and yellow basket to the bottom again. The answer is Fanny Farmer. Remember now?
Yes, I do.
All right,
now.
Well. You still have 3 more notches to get to the top of the pole. You have 3 more questions. Here's your third. What food, popular today, was at one time called a love apple and considered poisonous? You know. Remember that one? It was called a love apple. It looks a little bit like an apple. You know?
No.
You don't know? Oh, I'm awfully sorry. The green and yellow basket stays at the bottom of the pole. There are still 3 more notches, and there isn't any possibility of your getting it correctly. So we're just going to have to forfeit the money and your love letter. Isn't that too bad?
Yes.
Well, we're awfully sorry, too. But John Scott is going to tell you of a way in which you can redeem your forfeit. So listen closely, John.
Ah, yes. Too bad that Mrs. Britton didn't know that was a tomato. Now, the love letter which you forfeited to us, Mrs. Britton, was so eloquently written that it persuaded you to marry the writer. Isn't that so? Now, if you treasure that love letter, and I'm sure you do, and if you want to redeem it, and I'm sure you do, we want to find out if you can be as persuasive with the proposal of matrimony as was your husband. So now, if you'll accompany Jack Barry out into the audience, we'll ask you to choose a suitable man out into the audience to whom to try your proposal. Okay, Jack, go ahead.
All right, John. Mrs. Britton, if you'll accompany me up the aisle, we'll see if we can find a suitable mate for you. Look around. You see a gentleman here you think you'd like to propose to?
Yes.
Where?
I'd like to propose to the soldier.
The soldier? You're a very smart woman. Let's get down here. Mrs. Britton, there is a soldier and a sailor. Take your choice.
I'll take the soldier.
Take the soldier. All right. What is your name, sir?
Alfred Gidey.
Alfred Gidey, and I see that you're a lieutenant. Right? Okay. Lieutenant Gidey, I want you to say hello to Mrs. Britton.
How are you, Mrs.
Britton? What is your first name, Lieutenant?
Al.
Al.
Sure.
Well, I think in this case, you better refer to her as Nettie, and she better call you Al. Huh?
Okay.
All right.
I hope my wife isn't listening then.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That settles the question. You're a married man. Any children?
I have one.
I see. Well, and you know how serious a step marriage is.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't want you to give in too easily. You won't, would you?
No.
You could. I mean, you took that fatal step once, and you want to be very, very serious about it this time. I wonder if we could ask this sailor to let Mrs. Britton sit next to you. Would you do that? Thank you, sir. All right, that's fine. Now, Mrs. Britton, you just take the seat right next to Al, our lieutenant friend. Sit right down there. And Mrs. Britton, we want you to propose to this gentleman, and we want you to tell him all your virtues, why you think he should marry you. And Al, don't you give in too easily. Remember, this is very important. All right, Mrs. Britton, go right ahead.
Well, I'm a good cook. I got a nice disposition. And I think that you and I could get along very nice together. Because I think you got a nice disposition, too.
I don't know what some of the Army men would say about that.
And I like the Army, folks.
Mrs. Britton, how long have you been going together?
Well, 23 years.
Oh,
we have?
Then it's sort of about time. You know, you don't seem to be making too much progress. You know what you better do? You better take his hand in yours.
Oh.
And snuggle up a little closer. That's right.
All right. He don't know how nice I am, or he would agree.
All right, now you better go ahead with your telling him about some more of your virtues.
Well, I'm a very nice girl, and I like a nice time, and I like a nice fella.
You know,
I know you are.
It's still not registering on his
oh,
face. I know there's only one answer to this.
I could make him very happy.
Look, I know you could, but there's only one answer to this. He's not convinced that you're affectionate enough. That's the answer.
Yes,
so, I tell you what you do. If you plant a Nettie Britton kiss on his cheek, I think he'll agree. Go right ahead.
Oh, isn't that... He shakes his head. You get your love letter back. Congratulations. Okay, John.
Yes, Jack, Mrs. Britton gets her love letter back, and for being such a good sport, a few gifts from us. First, a Moroccan-bound leather desk coterie, a 10-year supply of Tiffany stationery, a Parker pen and pencil set, and, of course, a beautifully bound copy of the world's best love letter.
Thank you, Mrs. Britton, and goodbye.
Jack, next to put up a forfeit and try for the dough is Mr. Mylon Gernotch of Canton, Ohio.
Ohio, we're sure glad to have you here. Step right up to our microphone, Mr. Gernotch. My, oh my, you are certainly a big guy. How big are you?
5'11".
5'10"? You mean you weigh 510?
Oh, No, I'm 5'10" 10 inches tall.
Oh, I see. I made a little error there. The folks gave you a nice round of applause there. Tell me, you're in the neighborhood of how many pounds would you say that you weigh?
About 275.
That's sort of a rough neighborhood, isn't it?
Yeah. Big neighborhood.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You know, our judges were kind of astonished when they received your letter telling about the forfeit you were willing to put up.
Yeah, I thought they would be.
Well, we hope our audience liked it as much as the judges did. Will you tell the audience what your forfeit is?
Do you want me to pull it out?
Yeah, I'd like you to, sure. Show it to all the folks who are here at the Long Acre tonight. What is it? Would you step up here and tell us what it is?
It's a girdle.
I beg your pardon, what is it?
It's a girdle.
Well, you mean... You mean, of course, that it's your wife's girdle.
No, it's not my wife's girdle. I'm not married.
Well, my goodness, you're not married. It's not your wife's girdle. Whose girdle is it?
It's mine.
Yours? I don't understand this at all, Mr. Gernotch. What do you use the girdle for?
Well, you can look at me.
I know. You mean you use it kind of like a supporter, huh?
It's the only support I got.
I think, is a very important question, Mr. Gernotch. Do you find that the girls like you better when you're wearing the girdle?
Yes, they do.
Well, how do you account for that?
Well, I can get in closer when I dance.
Let's find out a little bit about this girdle. You get up here to this microphone. Don't be so bashful. He's hemming and hawing all over the place. Mr. Gernotch, come here. Do you luck your own girdle?
No, I send mine to laundry.
Oh, I bet they like that a lot, huh?
I get some nasty letters.
I think that you'd be in pretty bad shape if you lost this forfeit, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, I would. I'd be out of shape.
Well, I tell you, I think that it wouldn't be too tough because it would only be a matter of 2 or 3 days before you could get a new one with the rubber shortage let up the way it is. But still and all, we'd like to find out from our audience how they like your forfeit. What do you think, folks, of Mr. Granada?
That girdle stretched right up to the top of our money meter, and Mr. Gernotch will try to win $100.
Oh, that's fine. And say, you offered to put up your girdle, Mr. Gernotch, if we would question you about athletics, and that we're going to do. Now, did you ever take part in athletics?
Yes, in college. I was on tug-of-war team.
Tug-of-war team. Like our announcer, John Scott, he was on the tug-of-war team, too. He was the third jerk from the end. Did you take part in any other kind of sport?
Yeah, wrestling, swimming, and that kind of thing.
Well, with a background like that, you shouldn't have any trouble at all winning the $100. So good luck to you, and here's your first question. How many outs are there in an inning of baseball? And incidentally, your little girdle is going in the green and yellow basket. All right, let's see you boost that basket up. How many outs are there in an inning of baseball?
6.
That's absolutely right. Up goes the green and yellow basket, 1 notch. 2 more to go, and here's your second question. What is the only sport played in the United States that is wholly American in origin?
Baseball.
Oh, I'm sorry. Down goes the green and yellow basket to its starting point. Basketball, Mr. Gernotch. And now the green and yellow basket is at the starting point. You have 3 more notches to go and 3 more questions. Here's the third. In bowling, what is the perfect score?
300.
That is absolutely right. Up goes the green and yellow basket. 2 more notches to go, 2 more questions, and here's your fourth. Who was famous number 77 in football?
Red Grange.
That's right. Up goes the green and yellow basket. And now you are just 1 notch from the top. $100 will be yours, and your forfeit will be returned if you can answer this correctly. How could one football team beat its opponent by a 1-0 score? a 1-0 score. There's only one way it could be done. $100 go to you if you answer this correctly. He's grabbing his hair. I don't think he knows he's having a tough time with this one. Don't know? Oh, we'll have to rule you out, and down goes the green and yellow basket. I'm awfully sorry. You were a good sport to put up your girdle, but I'm afraid you didn't know quite enough about sports. Of course, you don't win the $100, and you forfeit your girdle to us. However, we want to give you a sporting chance to get your girdle back, John.
Mr. Gnott, you forfeited one of your greatest means of support, and you seem to be getting around okay. Now, we're going to remove another means of support. We're going to remove your belt. Now, if you'd get along just so... Mr. Gnott, do you remember the children's game of patty cake?
Yes, I remember.
You remember the children's game of patty cake, do you? Well, that's fine. That's the game, you know, where we clap hands and go back and forth. Well, you and I are going to play patty cake at the Temple of the Music, and at the same time, we're going to do a dog trot. That's right. We'll keep playing the game until Jack Barry shouts grab, at which time you better grab hold of your trousers.
Wonderful. You are a nice boy, and you do know a lot about music. Well, we have two more notes to go on that.
Down goes the green and yellow basket to the base. And I'm awfully sorry, but you haven't a chance in the world to get it to the top. There are three notches to go, and we only have one more question. But you were quite right when you said you knew a lot about music. Just not quite enough. Now, of course, you lose the $95, and you forfeit the baby bonnet to us. But we'll give you a sporting chance to redeem it if you just listen to John Scott, who will face the proposition.
Right, Jack. We've asked Mrs. Schmidt's husband to the theater tonight. Will you come up on the stage, Mr. Schmidt, please? Mrs. Schmidt, right here. Thank you very much. Now, Mrs. Schmidt, we're going to combine your knowledge of music and the story behind the baby bonnet and give you a little chore to do. First of all, let's put the baby bonnet back on the head of its rightful owner. Can we do that, Jack? That's fine. Mr. Schmidt, and, Jack Barry, you better carry on. Why does he look so cute? Jack Barry, you carry on.
All right, John, thank you. Now, a huge rocking chair is being brought out on our stage. Now, Mrs. Schmidt, we're going to ask you to sit in the rocking chair. Boys, will you help Mrs. Schmidt sit in the rocking chair? And, John Scott, I wonder if you would get me that hand microphone so I can go over and talk with Mrs. Schmidt. Now, she sits in the chair, and we're going to ask Mr. Schmidt, who incidentally is still wearing the lovely blue baby bonnet, we're going to ask him to sit on her lap. Go ahead, Mr. Schmidt. You sit in her lap. All right. That's fine. All right. Now I'll tell you what we're going to do. Mrs. Schmidt, here's where your knowledge of music comes in handy. We want you to rock Mr. Schmidt to sleep in the manner in which his mother did 30 years ago. Now, you can do that by singing Rock-a-Bye Baby on the Treetop. One other thing, though. Mr. Schmidt, we want to take you back to your childhood days, and we want you to cry. Cry loud enough to drown out your wife's singing. Are you all set, folks? Huh?
Right.
You all set?
Okay.
All right. Let's go. You cry, Mr. Schmidt. Oh, you cry.
Mrs. Schmidt, you must have been a beautiful baby, Mrs. Schmidt. Since you performed so well, we want to return, first of all, the baby bonnet. And because you both seem to enjoy that ride in the rocking chair so much, here are two tickets for a real joy ride. A heavenly weekend express trip to Atlantic City, New Jersey, the world's famous playground, with all expenses paid as the guest of your host here at Put Up or Shut Up. If you would like to appear on our program, all you have to do is send a card or letter to Put Up or Shut Up, Box 739, New York, 18, New York. Tell us about your forfeit and about what topic you would like to be questioned. If, in the opinion of our judges, your forfeit is original enough, we will invite you to participate. All letters submitted become our property, and in any event, the decision of our judges is final. Remember the address, Put Up or Shut Up, Box 739, New York, 18, New York.
And this is Jack Barry closing this session and reminding you that if we all put up our dough for victory bonds, we'll never have to shut up. Thank you and good night.
Put Up or Shut Up is a copyrighted feature of Allied Radio Productions. This program is produced by Dan Ehrenreich and this is John Scott speaking. This transcription is for audition purposes only.